following takes place between 7 and 8.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
The executive director.
Michelle Meyer. I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
There you go.
There he is. Ron is... Okay.
All right. They're happy that the rain left, you know? You get that little bit of rain along. They're happy that's gone.
Yeah, very, very good. Buff people are alive and active and doing very well in this... well, now it's not raining now. Actually, I see the sun come out, so you never know.
Yeah.
So sun's back and... got a big show tonight. We got a couple of guests coming up, and so stick around for that. And if you'd like to get on the program and give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Wherever you are right now, give us a call. Pick up your phone. Dial these numbers, 646-727-3235, and hit the send button, because if you don't, or, you know, if you're on a cell phone or something, if you don't tell your phone to dial that number, it'll just sit there, and you'll have that number up there for forever. But call that number and get on the switchboard with us, and we'll talk to you for a minute and put you on the air if you want to go on the air, or we'll just take your question in the little green room, as we call it. I think we just called it that tonight for the first time. That's pretty cool.
Yes, so
we
have the green room. Yeah,
everybody on the phones will go into our green room where you can, you know, snack on things and have a glass of wine that we've already poured. So. Enjoy it. And as always, on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Ron with us, everybody. Ron.
There
you
go.
All
right.
That was the wrong one. There we go. Ron is with us. Okay. It's going to be one of those days. So we're going to have our first guest coming up, hopefully in the next few minutes, and I'll probably bug out of here real quick and get in touch with him. Get him on.
Okay. All right.
There you go, Ron. Yeah,
thanks, Mike. I start out tonight, again, talking about something that is near and dear to all of us, and that is defeat HR 1161. That's still hanging out. That's still around. That's still giving us fits. The session ended, but it is still in committee. It has not been stopped. It is still floating around. 1161, for those of you out there who haven't heard the program before and would like to know, 1161 is an industry-wide, or alcohol industry-wide bill that will affect all spirits, beer, and wine. Congress, well, actually the House of Representatives, is looking at throwing all the power back to the states, which would virtually give a monopoly to the distribution system. It would stop a lot of small wineries from shipping. It would actually send the current laws back 25, 30 years. So it is something that we need to address. The bill was... has been condemned by the Winery Association. Winery Association is representing America's 7,000 wineries, brewers, distillers, and voters. It is known as the CARE Act. If you don't want to write your congressman, if you don't want to get a hold of them, make a letter or something like that, you can go on to our website, the winery's website. My winery's website is www.floridaestateswines, FloridaEstateswines, FloridaEstateswines.com. And there is a link there No, there isn't a link there. Facebook. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right, Facebook. I was going the wrong direction. Well, you can still go on our website, but it's not going to be there. You need to go on Facebook, our Facebook. Like us on Facebook, actually. Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates is on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, and there is a link there to go to Free the Grapes. On that site, there is another area that you can click on that will generate a message to your senators. You just tell them what state you're from and all this stuff, and it will generate it to directly to your senators. And from there, you can just sign your name to it. They will contact your senators and all that. I did that. I got a nice response from my senator, our congressman, actually. Gus Bilirakis is my local congressman. He sent me a nice response to it and thanked me for sharing my thoughts and ideas. Your senator should, too. So, HR 1161, go to our Facebook page, click on Save the Grape, or Free the Grapes, and you can go from there. I see that we have Linda on the line.
Yeah, she's on now. You're on live, Linda.
Hello. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
You with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, very good. Linda's a little quiet out there, aren't you?
I can talk louder if you want.
You might have to. You seem to be coming through very, very softly. Linda is the proprietor, the owner and winemaker, am I correct, of Wonderosa Winery?
Well, everything except the winemaker.
Okay.
I do not make the wine.
Okay. You are the owner, the proprietor, the sales crew, and the person with thousands of hats, the same as myself here at Florida Estates Winery. Tell us about Wonderosa Winery. When did you open? Where you're located? How big is it? All that good stuff.
Okay. I'm located in Roca, Nebraska, which is about 10 miles south of Lincoln, off of Highway 77. I have 2.5 acres of grapes. I grow Frontenac and La Crosse. The building is about 6,000 square feet. That's 3,000 on each level. We opened in April of 2009, so I've been open a little over 2 years. This was my husband's retirement dream. He grew up on this corner. It belonged to his dad. His dad farmed this land.
Uh-huh.
So we moved back here after he retired, and he designed the building, and we got it built. And now I'm the proud owner of a winery.
Is your husband still helping with it?
Well, he passed away. So,
sorry to hear that.
So that's why I have to wear so many hats. He was going to be the winemaker, so I've had to hire a couple of winemakers, and my last one. Oh, somebody's calling in on this line. That's funny. So somebody's calling, so it's going to be here. So anyway, we're learning in the process of learning how to do the wine. I have somebody very good helping. His name is Ed Swanson. He's the owner of the Cuthill Winery up by Pierce, Nebraska.
Oh.
So I think we'll still have some good wine. You know, we're just branching out in a new direction.
The grapes you use, you say, are Frontenac and St. Croix?
No, I grow Frontenac and La Crosse.
And La Crosse, okay, La Crosse. Why choose those?
I didn't choose them, my husband did. But he wanted a red grape and a white grapes, and then I also buy grapes from a couple other vineyards that are close by. They're within 30 miles of Lincoln. So, and they grow Marquette, Prairie Star, Frontenac Gris, and St. Croix grapes. So we buy their grapes, and then we make wine from all those different grapes.
Are they just growers? They're not wineries, or just vineyards?
They're vineyards. One of the vineyards is about 2.5 acres, and the other one is 8 acres.
Uh-huh.
So we have about 3,000 plants, and the other one has about the same amount I do, which is about 1,000.
Uh-huh. The I noticed one of the great types that you have is, a couple different ones, Prairie Star and Marquette.
Yes.
Those are the ones you use. What are those? What is the origin of those grapes? I'm not really familiar with them.
Well, they're a cold climate grape. They're grown on the other two vineyards, and they got their grapes from Minnesota. So they're a cold climate grape. And the Marquette is a very unique grape. There aren't very many vineyards that have those grapes here. So, and it makes a good red dry wine. So we're using that. We blended it this year with Dishonac, and it has made a very good dry wine. So I'm anxious to get it labeled and on the shelf.
So you have 4 wines in total?
No, that's what I started with. At this very moment, I have 12 wines. 2 of them are unlabeled, so they're not up here yet. But I have 12 different wines.
What are they? Can you name them all?
Can I name them all? I think so. I have 2 red wines called Claire's Wine. That was named after my husband. That's kind of my signature wine. Then I have 2 white dry wines named Bocelli's, which is named after one of the vineyard guys' dog, because he always hangs out with us in the vineyard. Then we have 3 Capitol Views, 1 red and 2 white, because you can see the Capitol building in Lincoln from my porch.
Oh.
And then we have a wine named Cottontail, just because somebody wanted to name one Cottontail, because we have a lot of rabbits out there. And then there's 2 named H.R. Blush, which the H.R. stands for Henry Richards, who owns the vineyard in Crete. So we named the wine after him.
Uh-huh.
And then the other 2, one of them is going to be another Claire's wine, and the other one, I think we're going to call it Happy Toad.
Happy Toad?
We don't have the Happy Toad. Like
toad?
Yeah, like a frog or a toad. So. But that should be 12 wines, then.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay. people sometimes cannot name all their wines. The soil, what type of soil are they all planted in?
We have what they call a Wymore silty clay loam soil. And so we have to have cold climate hardy grapevines for this soil.
Uh-huh. Is it well drained, or is it where are the vineyards? Are they?
Well, my vineyard is right outside the winery, and it does have good drainage. If you don't have good drainage, then you have quite a bit of rain, that's not good for the vine. So most of the vines here are built on slopes, so that the water will drain away from the vine. And
the,
we make our slope if we don't have it.
Do you have to water, or you get enough enough water to take care of the vines?
Well, I do not have irrigation, but the other two vineyards that I buy from close have irrigation. And so far, we've been lucky and haven't had any trouble there. So we get lots of rain.
It's when do you get bud break?
They've already started. They're like little Barbie doll grapes. That's what I call them. They're about the size if you had a little Barbie doll and put a little cluster in her hand. That's about how big they are right now.
So little bitty small ones on the vine.
Yes.
When do you do your harvest?
In August, usually about the third or fourth week in August, we're harvesting. And we pick by hand. We get 10 or 12 people together. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes we hire, you know, kids that want to, you know, just pick for fun. And once we start picking, you have to pick till they're picked. I mean, you don't say, oh, I think I'll pick, you know, two rows today and two rows next week. They need to be picked when they're ready. So.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The weather, do you have an issue with the weather? I mean, I know they're cold-hardy grapes, but have you had any, especially with all the heavy rains and everything throughout the Midwest there, have you had any issues this year with the rains?
Well, not yet, but it's a little too early to tell. I mean, after we've had like 5 days of rain almost every day, but the sun has been out today and yesterday, so that helps dry them up. But after the rains, you need to spray for the phloxeria, so we do spray for that. So.
Oh, really?
But I haven't had any weather issues yet. I mean, no tornadoes have come through and ripped them out or anything like that. So.
Yeah, that's good.
A good thing.
That's a
yeah.
good thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I have relatives in Kansas City, and there was a lot of tornado activity there yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a beautiful day here. It was really nice today, sunny, but the last couple of days we've had quite a bit of rain. So, but, you know, they like rain. They just don't like a whole bunch. But I think they'll be fine.
Well, good. I'm glad that there are no issues with that. The state of Nebraska. Good, bad, indifferent. How do they treat you? Would you rather they run away and leave you alone, or are they been helpful?
Oh, no, they're really helpful. There's a lot of extra, well, not extra. There's a lot of fees that they seem to produce that we pay, but they're helpful. I mean, you know, if any of us have any questions, we call and ask, and they do their best to help us. So. I mean, they've been pretty friendly. They want us to make it because, you know,
you give them money.
Bringing revenue in so we can pay our fees, I guess. I don't know. But, no, they're all real nice, and we get along, I think. So.
How about shipping? What's the rules about shipping out of state and from other states into Nebraska?
Well, there's a couple states that we can't ship to, but I have a list of the states that I can ship to, and there's one place in Lincoln where I can take my wine to ship it out. I don't have anything on the internet yet. I'm not quite big enough for that. So if somebody wants to order wine, they call the winery and give me the information, and I pack it up and send it to them.
Oh, fantastic. So, is there a minimum order?
No. No, because you're paying the postage. I mean, you're paying for the shipping. So if you want to order one bottle, it's almost the price of one bottle to ship it. So
right.
I would suggest you order at least more than one. It's almost better to order it by the case because the case quantity ships
That yeah, that's what I tell people, expensive. Too. Whenever somebody comes in and asks, I always try to point out that one bottle is going to cost the same as the bottle itself, but two bottles are going to be probably about the same as that anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, the breakdown on that is like that. It's something I was going to ask you. Oh, the soil. I asked you earlier about the soil there. Is there... You mentioned phylloxera?
Phylloxera.
Oh, phylloxera. Oh, okay. Okay.
Phylloxera.
Phylloxera, which is a great. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it gets on the leaves. I can equate that to it looks like the leaves have pimples, have blemishes on them. That's what I say. I mean, that's what it looks like, they have little bumps on the leaves. It doesn't really hurt the grapes at all, but it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like there's something wrong. So, yeah, we try to take care of that and the bugs, and we spray Roundup around the vines to keep the weeds out, so because that's important. So,
I noticed on your events calendar that you really are quite busy with events throughout the year.
Yeah, I have. Well, we have our summer basically planned. Our biggest event coming up is Claire Fest. That's in honor of my husband. We're trying to make that an annual thing. This is the second one that we've had, and that's June 11th. And then I belong to the Southeast Nebraska Winery Trail. There's eight wineries that we're all getting together at the Grand Man's in Lincoln. That's an event building downtown on June 10th. It's a great opportunity for people to taste wine from all eight of us without having to spend gas to go around to the different wineries. We're each pairing a wine with food, and we're bringing four other wines for people to sample.
Wow.
So if they buy a ticket, the ticket costs $32 in advance, $37 at the door, and you get to taste wine and food from eight different wineries. So it would be quite a thing to go to. And then on Fridays during the summer at my winery, we have a bruschetta bar that's available through Colleen's Caterings out of Beatrice. We're close to the Homestead bicycle trail. We encourage the bicyclists to come by and have something from the bruschetta bar and a glass of wine and listen to entertainment.
Wow.
And Sunday, we invite people to bring their dogs on a leash, and they can enjoy a glass of wine and walk through the vineyard with their dog. And so, yeah, there's things going on in the summertime at all of the wineries. I mean, they can pick and choose where they want to go. So we all have to keep busy.
Yeah, well, that's true. All these on your site here, all these different ones, these are bands. You have a band throughout the summer then coming in?
Yes. I have a large porch. It's 16 by 80 feet. And so the band usually sets up out on the porch. Sometimes, well, I had one last weekend that was country western, and there were six of them. And they sat up out on my porch and played in the rain. I mean, my porch is covered, so they didn't get wet, but it was raining. But there were still people here. They came to hear the band. So they were called Highway 50 was the name of that band. They're a new country western band.
Fantastic. You need to get a picture of your building on your website. You don't have one.
I don't have a picture on my website?
No, not of the building. I just looked at all of your different possibilities here, and there's not a picture of the winery itself. You've got some pictures of some vineyards, and you got pictures of everything else except for the actual winery itself. So
I'll tell my web guy that. He's
yeah,
doing
you need
to...
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is one here. A barn type look with two gables on top.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then you do have one. It's taken it at dusk with the lights on, though. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think I need one with daylight on it?
Yeah, I think you do. Think you do.
Oh, okay.
Such a
okay.
such a big well. Building, such a nice building, and it really would be nice to show it off. So, well, Linda, tell us about, you know, contact information, how to get a hold of you, everything about the winery, phone number, address, website, all that stuff. If you're on Facebook, the all that good stuff, so our listeners can have an opportunity to get in touch with you if they would like.
Okay. Well, I'm located in Rocha, Nebraska. My address is 2361 Whitstruck Road. My phone number is area code 402-328-3494. My website address is www.wonderosawinery.com with two R's, and it's W-U, not W-O, W-U-N-D-E-R-R-O-S-A, winery.com. I am on Facebook. You can sign up to get emails on a regular basis about what's going on. It's through Constant Contact, my emails. They can call the winery anytime. I can ship wine to almost every state. I cannot ship to Kansas. I know that. That's one where they won't let us ship out to Kansas. There's
nobody can ship to Kansas.
Ship to, but
Kansas can't even ship to Kansas.
I know. But I can ship inside Nebraska. I've shipped to California. I've shipped to New York. I've shipped to Alabama. I've shipped to Texas. So there's quite a few states. There aren't very many that I cannot ship to. But I do know Kansas. I cannot ship there. So
very good.
You people
One.
In... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm sorry, you people in Kansas just have to drive up. I'm only an hour.
It's close enough. They can do it.
Yeah. I'm only an hour north of the border anyway, so it's not too bad. So,
one last question. Where did the name Wonderosa come from?
Well, my husband was a big fan of Bonanza and Wonderosa. So, and Wonderlick is our last name. And Rose was his grandmother's name, so I think he just decided we would be Wonderosa. He actually wanted to use the theme song from Bonanza, but I kind of vetoed that. I don't know. So
well, Linda, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And
you're welcome.
We'll everyone out there at the program, but everyone out there, if you can get hold of her and want to contact her, people information, and again, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you for calling me. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Are we ready for our second guest?
Yeah, I believe Patty's out there. Well, one second. Let me talk about Patty for a moment here before we bring him on. We've got another caller tonight. This is Patty Patty Fleming from Flathead Lake Winery in Montana. We covered Montana 2 weeks ago, and we talked to someone for a while up there, and Patty was going to talk to us also that day, but something he was out of town, and he came back and sent us an email, apologized, and said he'd love to be on the program. So we figured we'd since he wants to be on the program, we'll give him a chance to come on and tell us a little bit. So if you are keeping track of this, 2 weeks ago, Montana, jump back, and we'll go back to Montana again here for a while, and let Patty tell us about his winery and all that. So,
Patty, you're on.
Hello, Patty.
Hello.
This is Ron here. You've already talked to Mike. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Likewise.
You are located in a great spot. I have to say, your winery sounds just absolutely fascinating. Tell us about where you are and everything around you there.
We're located about a mile from the border of Glacier Park. We're about 10 miles north of Columbia Falls, Montana, and about 25 miles south of Pole Bridge, Montana, which Pole Bridge has no electricity and 25 miles of gravel road to get to it.
So, and, you know, and it, what I enjoy so much about where you are, people walk into my winery all the time, and they say, boy, you're really out here in the middle of nowhere. And we are 45 minutes from Tampa, which is an enormously large city. I'll have to say, yeah, but never been to, up to Columbia Falls and to Flathead Lake Winery. What type of grapefruit do you grow up there?
Could you repeat that?
What type of grapes and fruit do you grow there?
We use only 100% Montana grown products, so that limits us severely because we have such a hard time growing grapes in Montana. As far as grapes go, we make a very dry Gewurztraminer that's grown at Thompson Falls, Montana. And we make a Pinot Noir that's grown in Montana, but we blend it with Flathead cherries. We call it Flathead Red. Then we do our fruit wines, which are right now we do cherry, choke cherry, apple, plum, and huckleberry, and our huckleberry is the original and the only real huckleberry wine.
The grapes. Do you grow them, or is that do you get them from someone else?
We have partners that grow them for us.
Yeah. Do you have anything on your property? Anything you growing there?
No, we're high enough up. We can't grow anything. We actually have huckleberries growing right up against the winery in the house.
Uh-huh. That's all. Yeah, you really are isolated up there then, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
How long
has... We got about 12 feet of snow this year.
Wow. What's the temperature like right now?
It was about 40 degrees today, and we have a winter storm watch for up on the top of Glacier Park.
Well, you know, I'm laughing because we hit a high of, I think, 90 today, and it's supposed to be that way until probably about Thanksgiving.
I was actually in Tampa last week.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Down here for business or pleasure?
Yeah, business. I work also with SOCOM.
Oh, all right. What type of soil your growers for your grapes and your fruit and all that? What type of soil, particularly for the grapes, do you have up there?
In the where the Pinot Noir is being grown, it's a very sandy loam. But where the Gewurztraminer is, it's a very rocky river bank.
Uh-huh. Weather up there, obviously it's very cold. The grapes that they're growing up there are those, most people seem to get grapes from Minnesota where they have the cold hardy grapes. Are those from that area also?
Well, you know, for the past, the gentleman that's been growing the Pinot Noir for us, he's had them in the ground since 1985.
Oh, wow.
But we only get a crop out of them about every 3 years. And when we do get it, it's low sugar. We just don't have a long enough summer with hot enough days in it. So most people right now we've tried Pinot Gris and that froze out. Gewurztraminer or two is also getting a crop about every 3 years. So most people right now are looking at a grape called Marquette out of the University of Minnesota. So we've got a crop of that in since for 2 years. We're expecting next summer to have some grapes off of it. We're hoping we'll have a more consistent crop out of the Marquette.
That's funny you mention Marquette because I was just we just had an interview with Wonder Rosa Winery in Nebraska, and Marquette's one of her one of her big grapes that she grows there, one of her good wines that she's very proud of. So the Marquette, she said, is very cold hardy, and it's been doing well with them there in Nebraska. And so
we're kind of excited about it here too.
Yeah, there's University of Michigan and also University of Minnesota both are doing some really great jobs on making some cold hardy grapes. We've talked to some of the wineries up there, and they're very excited about what's happening with cold hardy grapes in that area. You said that the you're only getting a crop like every 3 years. Why? What?
We either get a freeze in the spring that freezes the buds, or we get an early freeze in the fall. And when neither of those happen, we get grapes that are low in sugar.
Go on.
Go ahead.
No,
I think
go
we
right
decided
ahead.
That. I think we decided that the traditional varietals are just never going to be a part of Montana wineries. So we've got to go to something else, like the Marquette and other hybrids. So, of course, then the big challenge is marketing wines with unknown varietals.
It seems to be working in a lot of states, though, so you shouldn't have a problem. We've been talking to a lot of states, northern states, and they seem to be doing quite well in marketing them and selling them and coming up with some nice wines from them. So, I think you might have some surprises when you start putting them in the ground and start making some wines out of them.
Yeah, and we also have been having some luck with Leon Below.
Oh?
Yep.
Huh. When you do not have a late frost, when do you usually get bud break?
I'm sorry, I have to repeat that.
When you do not have a late frost, when do you usually get bud break?
You know, I'm not the one to ask that because I'm not the grape grower.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sorry.
All right.
Couldn't answer that.
It's just a question we always ask everyone, and thank you. The state of Montana, how does the government treat you? Good, bad, indifferent? Would you like to shoot them? Would you like to bury them? Would you like to hug them? I mean, how's Montana treating wineries?
Actually, pretty good. Montana's very – the Tavern Owner Association in Montana is one of the most powerful lobbyist groups in Montana. And so they've got a tight hold on the breweries and the distilleries, but somehow are leaving us alone.
Oh!
So they must not consider us a threat to wineries.
Well, how many wineries in Montana?
It fluctuates somewhere around 6 to 10, I would guess, at this moment.
Uh-huh. And most of them?
All of them are shipping in grapes from out of state.
That was my question.
Except us.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. So most of them are getting them from Washington, I would suspect, then. Oregon, Washington?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The winters there, your summer highs and your winter lows and all that, little synopsis of a season.
We rarely have ever hit 100 degrees in the summer, and usually 80s is about where we're at in the summer. In the winter, we can probably average about 10, 15 degrees, but we can go down to 35, 40 below.
That makes me shiver just talking about it.
Makes me sweat thinking about Tampa.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's what we get to. I've been to Montana, and I love the state. It is a beautiful state. I've been to Missoula, actually, and it's just a gorgeous state up there.
Yeah.
Just I, I don't think I could handle the winters, though. I was up there in the summer. I don't know about the winters. Flathead Lake Winery, how did you get your name?
We were originally located on Flathead Lake, and we get almost all of our crops off of area right around Flathead Lake, so that's why we named it Flathead Lake.
Uh-huh. And you've been in business how long now?
9 years.
9 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Your wines, I don't know, I've been doing other stuff here, your products, your wines. Tell us about each of these, your cherry red, your gewurztraminer, your huckleberry. Tell us about your wines.
Our dry gewurztraminer, grown in Montana, is, like I said, extremely dry. It's come off with low sugar. We could have added sugar to it to bring it up sweetness level to most other gewurztraminers, but liked it so well the way it was, we decided to leave it as a dry gewurztraminer. Our flathead red is a blend between Montana-grown Pinot Noir and flathead cherries. It's a very interesting wine. It starts off a little sweet with the cherries and then finishes dry with the Pinot.
Huh.
We consider it kind of a in-between wine for someone that has maybe been mostly drinking white Zin but isn't quite ready to go to a Merlot or a Cab. That's our two grape wines, and then our huckleberry wine. We are the originators of huckleberry wine and the only ones that make a real huckleberry wine. For the past 9 years, people have been copying our wine, and what they do is they take a Riesling and they add huckleberry flavoring. We make real huckleberry wine, so we use 2 pounds of huckleberries in every bottle. And huckleberries in Montana only grow wild, so you have to pick them, and they go for about $6 a pound.
Wow.
So we've got $12 in huckleberries in every bottle. We also do a flathead cherry wine, which is bursts with cherry flavor and has some very nice acidity to it. We try to keep our fruit wines as dry as we can possibly get them and still enhance the flavor. So they tend to be a little bit sweeter than your Cabs and Merlots, but not syrupy sweet like some fruit wines can be. We have a Mirabelle plum wine that we're getting good reviews on, and Mirabelle plums are small and yellow, and they're mostly used for brandies in France.
Oh, wow.
We've got somebody growing them here in Montana, so we've been making a wine out of it, and it has an amazing nose to it with a very clean finish to it. A lot of people are saying it's a great wine to pair up with Asian meals. It's kind of an alternative to sake, a drier alternative.
Huh.
And our chokecherry is a very interesting wine. Chokecherries are grown wild on riverbanks in Montana. Very extremely high vitamin C, and they make you almost pucker when you eat one. That's why they're chokecherries. But having the right amount of sugar to them really brings out the flavor, and has a real natural cinnamonness to it as well. So, I think that's about most of our wines there.
Apple wine also?
Yes, we do an apple wine. Yeah, Macintosh apple wine, which is just like walking into a cidery. It's great in the summer, chilled, and then in the winter we like to put mulling spices in it and heat it up in the microwave, and it's a great hot spiced wine.
Ah, so most of your wines are rather low on residual sugar then?
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I'm still fascinated that the Pinot Noir is even growing up there. That is something that is just, because Pinot Noir is such a temperamental grape anyway, and to be able to grow it up there is just, it amazes me.
Yeah, you've been growing it right on the shores of Flathead Lake, which is the largest freshwater lake west of the Great Lakes, and the lake's large enough to temper the climate quite a bit here, so I think that's what has saved them throughout these years. But
I was looking at a map of your area there, and the only thing I can think of was picking up a fishing pole and heading out.
great fishing night. Our winery is about 2 miles from the North Fork of the Flathead River, which is great fishing and great rafting as well. And it's right on the border. It's the border of Glacier Park. So.
Wow, that's what a great place. I'm going to have to make it up to Montana again and stop by and visit you, although you'd never see me because I'd rather be out fishing probably in that area.
Yeah, I understand.
Mike, do you have any questions for Patty here?
I asked somebody last week, you already asked about Bud Break. What about the wine trails? Does Montana have any wine trails up there?
Not at this point. I am actually working with a couple of the other wineries to try to get a map going and a pamphlet. And the Montana wineries seem to be still in the stage where they feel like they're in competition with each other rather than can help each other. So hopefully that'll end and we can get a wine trail going. And we're actually trying to do one too, and maybe it would include the breweries and the distilleries as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like it's. I mean, it's beautiful country up there. I would imagine that would be very, very nice to have a drive through and visit everybody up there. I guess that's it.
Okay. Well,
address contact.
Yes, Patty, give us your all of your information: the name of the winery, the email address, the street address, phone number. Facebook, if you're on that, everything. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you. Oh, before we do that, though, how about shipping in and out your state?
Yeah, we currently ship to about 14 states, just the ones that we license through. So depending on the state, we can ship to you.
All right. Well, give us all of your pertinent information, if you will, everything about the winery.
Yeah, we're Flathead Lake Winery, and we're located at Glacier Park in Montana. Our website is www.flatheadlakewinery.com. My email is pattyfleming@hotmail.com. That's PADDYFLEMING @hotmail.com. And we can be reached at any time at 406-387-WINO, which is 9466.
Fantastic. Well, Patty, thank you for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. We'll pass on your information one more time before we get off the air. And best of luck to you. And if anyone wants to contact, get a hold of Flathead Lake Winery, then you can check it out. They're on all sorts of places, all that. If you forget the address or how to get a hold of them, you can always get a hold of me on the website here at All About Wine. And, again, Patty, best of luck to you. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very cool.
Bye now.
All right. Very cool. Still trying to figure out my microphone issue. Was it really you're talking about my microphone? We're sitting here chatting, and I was like, okay, there's another show. Try this again. Oh, I can hear it. Okay. So I had to stop. Now I'm on my regular headset, so I don't know. Can you still hear it?
I'm not hearing the buzz and the hum. I was getting a lot of hum and buzz. I don't know if it was going out over the air, but it was definitely coming in here.
If you can hear it, it was probably going out, so it was a good thing I muted it. That sounds like a microphone connection. But that's because I'm using, never mind. One of those stupid technical things but this is a wine show.
That's right.
it just sounds, their location up there in Montana just sounds like, I just want to hop in
All About Wine Jet
and fly up there, I'm checking out the pictures now.
I know. It's just where it's located. Like I say, get up there, take a fishing pole. Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I just.
A heavy coat?
Yes. Without a doubt, a heavy coat.
Winter storm? Are you kidding me?
And no, then, I'm just and saying,
95 here in Florida.
40 degrees and warnings for winter storm today. I mean, this is May. Didn't anybody tell Montana it's May?
I know. And then you go, well, it was 95 degrees here in Tampa.
I know. But...
unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Winter?
Winter still. We've talked to so many different wineries, up in northern areas that are using these cold, hardy grapes that, they could embrace them up there in Montana. I mean, it just, if they can coax out of that Pinot Noir a crop, then surely they can have themselves some great crops with some of these cold, hardy grapes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Trying to see where they're located again. They got Google Map. Yeah, I don't know. They're almost like limiting themselves, but then again, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. Weather's definitely a big thing up there with what you can grow. So,
and the thing is too, they said they're losing the Pinot Noir crops because of late frost or early in the fall. And so if you've got bud break, no matter what the grape is, if you've got bud break and you get a late frost, then you're going to lose it. I mean, it's just, I'm sure it's not like a frost like most people are used to. I'm sure we would actually consider it a freeze. So, yeah.
Yeah, 40-degree weather, if we had that right now, we would definitely be closing down. Schools would be closing down, and
there
would just be total chaos. Speaking of chaos, but this is not chaotic, you have an event coming up this Saturday. And
yes, we do.
That was a bad lead-in. Speaking of chaos,
we have a wine fest.
It's very relaxing. It's very relaxing, and you have. Let me see. I read on your newsletter. If I can find it real quick, go to my folder with the million messages. You have Angelo and Penny Cook.
Yeah, Penny's providing. His wife.
I didn't see them as a couple last time when I was there. And I didn't realize they performed together. Maybe I just missed something, but because I always thought it was Angelo Cook by himself, and then that was it.
And his wife joined it. They have a son who also joins them every once in a while. Angelo was telling us that he's a great bass player too, so he's joined them as a trio at times. So something else very interesting. But his wife does join him now.
Okay. Well, we have that advertisement coming up whenever you're ready for a little break, and then we can get back on to the – because what do we have, seven minutes?
About 7 minutes, yeah.
Okay. All right. So – and it runs about a minute, so –
Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. I got something here I want to pass on to everyone.
Sure.
This is something – Meritage. People may have heard of this – spelled Meritage. It's pronounced Meritage. It rhymes with heritage. It's just a made-up word. It's registered as a U.S. trademark. And wineries must pay to use this on their wines. A little history behind this. Now, you're seeing, and before I go into history, you're seeing this pop up on labels here and there, different wineries, especially from California, but you're seeing it also in other states too, not just California. But back in 1989, wineries were choosing names for the various blended wines, and it was getting hard to keep track of them all. So an association was formed to try to define a Bordeaux blend of grapes that was done on non-French soil. Now, the Bordeaux blend consists of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and, old age here, I got a blank. Well, it'll come to me. But four grapes. I just had a suggestion from my engineer here.
Carmenere?
Not Carmenere. It's
Cabernet?
Malbec. I think it's Melbeck. Melbeck.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you. She came up with the right one that time.
Yay.
Yay for her. If I had the clap screen here, I'd do it. So an association's form tried to come up with a Bordeaux blend done with non-French soil grapes. There were had been over 6,000 people submit choices for names of this blend. And Meritage won. Okay, this is a combination of the words merit and heritage. And shouldn't be pronounced as if it were French, because it's not a French name. It's Meritage. What is Meritage? First off, this can't be a mass-marketed wine. The release of Meritage must be under 25,000 cases. It has to be high-end wine for the winery. It can't be their bargain basement offering. You can't call $2 Chuck, which is now $3 Chuck, $3 Chuck, Meritage wine. And finally, it has to be a blend of certain grapes. These grapes are Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. There is also a white Meritage, which is far less common. I didn't know there was a white one. Wow, I didn't realize this. This uses Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, and Muscadel. And that's not the... wino on the street Muscadel people are thinking of. That's a very good grape, Muscadel. How does this taste? It's just like a Bordeaux. Since it's using the same grapes, it tastes like a Bordeaux. And some of the wineries, and I've had a Meritage, taste of a Meritage, and the one I had was phenomenal. I mean, it was really good. There's a rich, full aroma to it. Depending on the blends of how strong, how weak, what they're doing on it. Now, in France, in the Bordeaux region, they are controlled a lot more by government than what we are. So we can vary the amounts of each one we put in it and all that. But depending on the particular blend, it can be a blackberry, black cherry, spices, chocolate, vanilla tones to it. Most Meritages have a Bordeaux signature flavor, like cigar box, rich fruits, and a hefty mouthfeel. And it goes great with steaks, game, venison, pheasant, buffalo. And Meritage should be served at around 64 degrees Fahrenheit for the best flavor. So I saw that, and I've had a Meritage before, and I just wanted to pass that on tonight. The Meritage is really great. If you get an opportunity to pick up one, do it.
Hmm. Very cool.
And that killed a few minutes and time for us to go into our promo for our wine fest this Saturday.
All right. We'll be back in about a minute or so. Don't time it because I don't know exactly. Hold on.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
There you go. This Saturday,
very
be sure
nice.
To be there. Be sure to be there. Thank you very much. I still sound a little bassy, though. I need to redo that one, treble-wise. But anyway, more technical stuff. definitely gets the information out. Let's see. And you have some good items this weekend. It's going to be. I would go ahead and I would definitely come out to. Well, I have to work, but I would definitely, if you're out there listening to us, make one of those things.
Yeah, I know.
When I'm
but
not here,
we got a lot of new vendors this week. We got Kettle Corn? No.
Oh, wow.
No. No, we don't.
Okay, cool. No?
I thought we did.
I was looking at the list. I didn't see
Okay, no. Well, I think he called and he had something else. Oh, 10 seconds. Bye, everybody, what? Live.
Oh, thank you to Linda with Wonderosa Winery. Appreciate having you on the program. And Patty with Flathead Winery. Look them up on the web and let them know that you heard about them on Blog Talk Radio on our program. And we're in overtime. Wow, that was quick. You know,
that was.
Like,
boom.
I didn't
touch right
you.
There,
I don't hear the countdown timer. You hear the countdown timer.
Well, it's it's 90 seconds, 60 seconds, then 10 seconds. I mean, it was just like, whoa. So,
and liftoff. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, real fast.
That is, so we're still, so we're on, we're still, but we're not live.
We're still on streaming, but we're not on live.
Right. So let me see what.
Oh, we got baby armadillos back, too.
Baby what?
Armadillos.
Oh, okay.
couple years ago, underneath the laundry room, a big bush. Big bush in front of the laundry room. Mm-hmm. And underneath that and underneath the laundry room, there's a hole. And armadillos love to live there. And a couple years ago, we had a mommy went down there and gave birth to four babies. And they came out and they used to wander around out in front and all that. And people would come in and they'd get scared and they'd run over their feet and run back into the hole and stuff like that. Because they were so young, they weren't scared of people.
Mm-hmm.
Then every once in a while, somebody tried to bend down and pick it up, and it'd flip around and flip out of their hand and stuff. But, yeah, I know. It just, they were funny. Well, they all grew up, and they all left and, you know, moved away and never wrote, never called. So, you know, we just said, you know, forget them. The other day, I walked outside, and there were two more baby armadillos out there.
Oh, no.
Little small cute things. They are so cute when they're little.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, they are not born dead on the side of the road. yeah, there you go. Well put.
Takes a little while.
Yeah, I know. But still.
That was good.
But they, a couple of babies, there may be more. I don't know. I only saw two of them so far, and they seem to be hiding a lot. So they're still awful young. But I think that's why I'm getting a lot of little armadillo holes all around the yard, because those things are going out and they're digging out.
But at least when they're growing up, they're becoming somebody else's issue. So,
that's true,
They consider you safe for the young ones, and then after that, they can wander off and go.
They wander off, they leave, they, you know, like I say.
Become productive armadillos.
That's right.
Whatever.
And we also have sandhill cranes that got babies.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
got a whole new attraction there.
And, I know. It just, you know, start having a... and then the baby cows all wandering out in the field and all that. So, yeah, it's just this... It seems to be a very fertile area, you know.
Ron's Wildlife Preserve.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let me see. I guess, did they get, I guess they had the promo, gave out the information just in case they're listening on archives. Let me give that out real quick just to make sure. Your Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25.
Must be for
guitar. Yes, they're a little, a little slight delay. Located at 25241 State Road 52, 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is 4 miles west of Interstate 75, which is our main artery going north and south. 4 miles west on State Road 52, and look for the signs for Florida State's Winery. Or you can get there from the Suncoast Parkway. Just take the State Road 52 exit and go east. Or from US 41, you also go east and on 52, and you'll see the signs there for the winery, which is a little bit, just a little short hop north of State Route 52. Very easy to get to. Lots of parking and very big open spaces out there. It's kind of like farmland. I mean, it's really, really nice up there. I say up there because you're a little bit from here.
Yeah.
Anyway, open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., 11 to 6 p.m., and give the winery a call directly at area code 813-996-2113. 996-2113. call the winery, let them know you heard about us, about the show, and you heard about the winery on the show, and I'm sure Ron and everybody, with the whole staff over there, would like to hear from you. Or email the winery, corp@flewn.com, corp@flewn.com, or visit them on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com, floridaestateswines.com. If you would like to comment on the show, Ron is also checking those emails, and that email address is allaboutwine101@gmail.com, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And I'm going to have to update the show description for today because I have New Hampshire on there. And
that's next week.
That'll be next week, so.
That'll be next week. We'll do New Hampshire next week.
Yeah, we'll put New Hampshire down. Let's see.
That's going to be, we're going to be in a new month next week, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be in the real summer. No, we won't be in summer next. When does summer start? June? July?
June?
Somewhere on?
June.
Something.
June the 21st, I think. Or 20th or 22nd or something like that.
I think it started a couple weeks ago.
yeah, we're in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, y'all. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us
thank
live
you all.
And on the archives. And we'll see you all next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. No spaces or anything. /allaboutwine. Just remember that, and you'll be able to get to the show live. And we hope to hear from you all. During the weekend next week on the program. Thank you, Ron, and thank you,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, Mike.
See you next time. Thank you.
Yep. Bye. Thank you very much.